invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be in verses 22 to 24 this morning. And if you're new here, what we do is we take a book of the Bible and we work through it. Word by word, phrase by phrase, verse by verse, but we'll take this passage that's the next in the line, and we'll preach on it. And so that's where we're at here in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be talking about marriage responsibilities the next couple weeks, and specifically the wife's responsibility in marriage. And so this is just another passage right along in Ephesians 5, and next week, don't worry, men, husbands, you'll be next, but this morning is the wife's responsibility and seeing what God calls wives to do. Now, maybe you're not a wife this morning and you don't have any plans anytime soon to get married. Maybe you're young and you're not married, or there's a variety of situations represented in our church body here. And you still need to, of course, pay attention, because we would say, that you're young. Well, most people do end up getting married. Not everyone will say that, but most people do. And so you have to be prepared. You can't just say, oh, I'll be ready when the time comes. But you have to be prepared. You have to know God's word. All of us need to know what God's word says. And maybe you're a husband here this morning, and even though these verses aren't specifically directed towards you, it's important for you to know what they say. Because it's important for you to know and expect to know what your wife's responsibility is. Now, this isn't so that you can nitpick every little thing, but it's because a lot of husbands have a wrong expectation that is not in line with Scripture. And so we need to, all of us, align our beliefs in line with what Scripture says. So when it comes to marriage, a lot of different issues can come up that can cause great damage, right? We all know this. Infidelity can ruin a marriage. Substance abuse, domestic violence can definitely destroy a marriage. There's financial stress. There's communication issues. There's unmet expectations. There's so many things that can cause problems in a marriage. But a common problem that today's world doesn't want to readily admit is a problem in many marriages is this understanding of marriage responsibilities, and how they have this misunderstanding has led to so many myriads of issues. As a pastor, I've, of course, done counseling, and the number of marriage issues I've counseled far exceeds any other counseling problem. And a major issue of these marriages is this very thing, is this incorrect understanding of what the responsibilities are. And so they, of course, then don't live it out. But a correct view of marriage responsibilities and of course, obeying them actually solves a lot of other marital problems, because it directly relates of how you relate to each other. These responsibilities connect to how do I relate to my wife? How do I relate to my husband? And that's going to impact a lot of areas in your marriage. And so nothing may be more important than for couples to understand what their responsibility is in a marriage. But here's the thing. In our culture, there may be nothing more controversial than what I'm going to talk about this morning. But here's the thing. As Christians, what determines how we function? It is the Word of God. Culture doesn't determine how we are to function. And so we go back to Scripture, we see what does God say, and we believe it and we follow it. And so what do we see here about the responsibility of wives? Let's read it. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So here in Ephesians 5, Paul has been instructing us on how to live walk worthy of our calling? How do we live as Christians? And he talks about how we need wisdom. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to avoid sin. And we need to walk in love. All of these things are so important. And now he goes into the realms of work and family relationships. And he zeroes in first on the marriage relationship, speaking to wives first. And he only does a couple of verses to the wives and the whole thing to the men. And so that is interesting as well. But here we see he speaks to the wives. And the main point this morning is very clear from what Paul says. And it's this: a wife is to submit to her husband. Now, if I put that statement on social media right now, I would get utterly lambasted. I would just get so much criticism, so much hate, and it's not very popular in our day, and yet it's very, very ultra clear that that's what Paul says. I didn't even change the main word. I used the word that Paul, of course, used, the English translation of it. And so I'm not making things up on the fly up here. I'm simply communicating what God's word says. Now, in order for us to believe that this statement that is so culturally controversial, you have to go back to some foundational things. You have to go back to who gave this command. Who gave this command? Because you really think about it, this command ultimately comes from God himself. Because we believe all Scripture is breathed out by God. And so this means that even though Paul literally penned or wrote these words, it was really the Spirit of God working through Paul to write exactly what God wanted. And so these words are exactly what God wanted. And so that's why we can call Scripture God's very word to us. It is God's word. And so you think about this. This is God's word. And so what does that mean? What does that imply? It is 100% true, and it's fully authoritative for us. And so know for certain then that this command is given by God and not by man. And so this means if it's given by God, what does it show us about this command? It is right. It's not a mistake. It's not wrong, it's not outdated, it's fully right because God is always right. God does not change, his word does not change, and therefore this command is not culture bound. And so you can say, well, that was good for Paul and his culture and time, but for us, I mean, we're living in a different time. You can't say that because really Paul even grounds this relationship with Christ and the church. And so this command then is right, but also, importantly as well, is this command is good. I need you to get that in your mind. This command is good. Why would I say that? Because God is good. Any command God gives is going to be good because it flows out of a good God. And so his commands are always good. You know, many Christians, even many pastors, they may share this instruction for wives, but sadly they act like this is what God has said, but it's not what I would do. I'm sorry, everyone. I know it's a little extreme. No, I'm not going to apologize for God. Lord, may it never be. I do not apologize for God. I submit to God. And I do not act like God is the unreasonable one. We are the unreasonable ones. Our culture is the unreasonable ones. We bow the knee to God and we say, Lord, this is hard, yes, but Lord, this is good because it's from you, our good God. So it's good. We need to get that ingrained. It is good because it's from our good God. And so as you think about these responsibilities, whether it be the wife or the husband, they're fully right, fully true, fully good, fully authoritative for us. And so we do not shy away from them, but really we believe them, we receive them, and here as well, we rejoice in them. Do you realize that as Christians,
because these commands are from God, we should rejoice in them. Do you rejoice in this? Or do you just think, oh, that's a little like too extreme for me? No, let's rejoice in them. Even they're hard. God gives us hard things to do. He gives husbands hard things to do. He gives wives hard things to do. But they're good. They're right. They're true. And so we have that important foundation. But let's get into the main command. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. To submit is to simply arrange yourself under someone else. And so it's really this voluntary yielding to someone else. So you're showing deference to them. And this, of course, takes a certain humility. It takes a servant-mindedness. We're all called to really serve one another, but here we see that it does involve that, where you can't put yourself first. You can't be the one calling the shots here. Submitting is you're putting yourself under someone. And so a wife is to submit to her husband. Now, know that submission does not mean that you're your husband's slave, where he can just tell you to do all these little things and, okay, I have to do it like a robot and a slave. It does not mean that you're a doormat where you're unable to share your opinions and thoughts. I'll talk more about that next week to the husbands. But wives, also realize that submission doesn't make you inferior as a person. God values each of his people, made in the image of God, of him. And so you think about it this way, what having different responsibilities doesn't make me inferior than someone else. My child, in God's eyes, is not inferior to me because I'm the parent. If you believe that, there's something wrong in your mind. No, there's different responsibilities, there's structure, but that doesn't take away your inherent value in God's eyes. Because in that case, if you believe that, then that would mean Christians are of less value to God because we have to submit to the governing authorities. Certainly not. Certainly God does not think more valuable of unbelieving governing authorities than he does us. So it doesn't work that way. Christ willingly submitted to his Father on earth. It didn't diminish his value or worth in the Trinity. And so what is submission? It is a wife who is receptive, respectful, supportive, and helpful. Sometimes I find thinking of the opposite is helpful to think through some things. So what you could think, what is the opposite of a submissive wife? And it's a wife who seeks to rule, control, or dominate, even in passive-aggressive ways. And so it's a wife who tries to take charge and make decisions without her husband, or does the opposite of what he has decided or wants. She could be critical or talk down to him, resentful, reluctant, or argumentative when he does want to make a decision. But also, wife may be tempted to undermine her husband's leadership by complaining or nagging or manipulating. That is not submission. Rather, it's this idea of supportive and encouraging and helpful and willing to serve in those ways. And so you're willing to put yourself under his leadership. You're looking to him to lead. Now, of course, as we know, a lot of husbands do not do their job, and so it makes things harder. I completely know that. I know that. But you're still called to do what you are called to do. And, of course, men are called to do what they are called to do. But for you to have a willingness to serve, a inclination to listen, and a respectfulness in attitude. But notice Paul adds that it's to be done as to the Lord. This means that a wife's submission to her husband is an expression of her obedience to God. And so a wife submits to her husband not because he's just so amazing, right? But it's really because she knows she's commanded to by the Lord, and so she wants to obey the Lord. It's as to the Lord. And so realize that this is not an option. This is a command from God, and many do not think about it that way. They do not realize that to reject submitting is to reject the command of God here. And so a wife can say, well, you wouldn't say that if you knew my husband. No, you can't say that. This means a wife cannot say, well, submission is just not in line with my personality. No, not according to that. You can't say, that's just not how we have chosen to do things in our marriage. No, this is God's design for marriage. Because you're ultimately doing it for the Lord. He commanded this. And so realize, too, that because this submission is as to the Lord, what does that mean if the husband tries to get her to do something sinful? She is to obey God rather than man. Because God is the ultimate authority. Realize, too, that Paul does not tell husbands, make your wives submit. He does not say that. Husbands, if you do that, you have violated multiple biblical instructions. You are not to try to put her in her place in any sort of force or manipulation, because that is sinful. That is inexcusable. Instead, Paul simply calls wives to their conduct. And so they stand before God for their conduct. But the question is why? Why does God call wives to submit here? Because, number one, there is a structure. Life is filled with structure, if you really think about it. Without structure, you have chaos. So you're building a house, you need a structure, or it's not going to work. For society to function, you need some sort of structure. So you have laws and institutions and government and things like that. Think about a school or a workplace. It has to have some sort of structure in order to run well, right? Have you ever been a part of a group and there's not really any clear structure or leader, and everyone's just kind of confused and you're not really going anywhere? And, you know, you often have this at school when you're in, all right, get into a group and do this project. And everyone's looking at each other like, okay, who's going to do what? And, you know, it doesn't always flow and it doesn't really go the best. Well, God has set up the world to work in structured ways. Think about this. Think of all the structure that God has placed into the world. Parents are over children. Governing authorities are over their specific realm. Leaders are in the church and so on. You could go on and on. But you see, therefore, having a structure in marriage is not a curveball. It's not like there's no structure in anything else, but okay, here's a structure. No, really, this is a way that God works, is he structures and puts leaders and things into place. And so why are wives to submit? Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Paul is showing us marriage has a structure. The husband is the head of the wife. And this image of head shows or symbolizes leadership and authority. Think of a head and a body. So the head sits on top and it sort of leads and it guides the body. And so also that's really how it's supposed to function in a marriage, is the husband is the head leading and guiding, and the wife is sort of like the body who works in harmony with the head. And so it's actually, when you think about it, it's like this image of a head and a body, of a healthy head and a body. What is it? It's a beautiful complementary thing. Think about a healthy head and body working together. They accomplish great things. When you're healthy, and you can, and your mind is working well with your physical body, and you can, okay, I'm going to accomplish that, and you accomplish that, you can accomplish great things. And so that's also the image of a marriage, is that when a husband and wife are working within their set places, they actually can accomplish great things. Have you ever, I know this is, happens for us as we get older, have you ever had your mind want to do something, but your body says, nope, not going to happen? You know, I'm not that old, and I'm starting to feel that when I play sports with my kids, and it's like my mind wants to go over there to catch the ball, but my body won't get there in time, and you're thinking, I used to be able to do this. And your mind and your body aren't really working the best together.
Well, when a husband or wife are having a power struggle, it's like that. It's not going to work. It doesn't work well. There's tension. There's bickering. There's resentment. And the marriage is just not functioning the way that it should. And so you see, this is the way God has structured marriage. I want you to think about it this way. God created marriage. We know this. He created marriage, and he structured marriage the way that he wanted. Don't you think he knows how it's supposed to work? He created it. And so he's telling us here, this is the way marriage functions. This is the way it's supposed to function. This is the way it works. You want a healthy marriage? This is the way. He's telling us. And so that means when you follow God's structure, when you both following God's structure, wife is submitting, husband is loving, you're actually going to experience a marriage that has more joy and fulfillment because you're going according to God's design. You're using something according to how it was designed. And so you have people and marriages who buck against this. And it's going against the grain of God's design, and it's not going to work. There's issue after issue. And so wives know that this structure, it's not based on your personal knowledge and skill and wisdom. So you can't say, well, I'm smarter than my husband. I should be the head. You can't say, well, I'm godlier than my husband. I should be the head. No, I know there's many, many women who are smarter and wiser and godlier than their husbands, but Paul adds no such qualifiers. And actually, over in 1 Peter, he talks to wives, Christian wives, who are married to unbelieving husbands, and Peter gives really the same truth of submitting. So there's an unbelieving husband with a believing wife, and she's still supposed to do this responsibility. This is not based on being smarter and all that. It's based on God's design. God has ordered marriage, structured marriage to work this certain way from the beginning. And so it doesn't change because you say, wow, my husband, he has all these flaws and shortcomings. It's not based on that. Now, when people think of this, when people think of leadership and authority, their mind immediately goes to the abuse of it. And I understand, because there's a lot of abuse of it. I fully know and aware of that. But this does not mean that leadership and authority are inherently bad, but actually they're ideas of structure and functioning, of responsibilities. And so do not let the abuse of these things deter you from obeying what God has told you to do. You see, the problem isn't with the structure. The structure is God's good design. The problem is with the misuse of the structure. That's important. It's not the structure itself. It's the misuse of that structure. People misuse that. Like anything in life, technology, it can be used for good things, but it can be misused for horrific things. Right? And so it's like that is God's good design structurally. Is good, and so we hold on to that. And so putting this together, a wife who submits to her husband is really recognizing God-ordained structure of marriage. She's understanding that. And so genuine submission then is this joyful alignment with God's design, that you're joyfully aligning yourself with, this is the way God has designed it, and I'm going to joyfully submit to that. And so the submissive wife finds joy and satisfaction in the place that God has called her to, in the place that God has assigned her, knowing it's good because it's from God. And notice how he connects this with Christ and the church. And so you have the husband sort of in a similar place as Christ, and you have the wife in a similar place of the church, and he's making this connection. We'll see this in a couple of weeks, of just that strong connection. And it's showing us that, as one commentator put it, as Christ and the church cannot exchange places,
The analogy used does not permit husband and wife to exchange places either. And so we see that these are what God has set. And so this means that this command, it's not bound to the ancient culture. It's not bound to the ancient culture that Paul is living and writing in. And actually, what we'll find next week with the command to husbands, if you look into it, the command to husbands by Paul was totally countercultural to his day. And so Paul was not trying to be culturally sensitive. His command to husbands was countercultural. And so it reminds us that this is not culture bound, but really the picture of Christ in the church, and then how he connects that with the husband and wife shows us this is timeless and not time bound. And so speaking of Christ in the church, that's what we see next, is that we see that there is a pattern. There is a pattern. In order to make accurate cuts of wood, a carpenter sometimes uses a template and he cuts this piece of wood to the exact size and shape that he wants. And then he uses this piece of wood to then guide him as he cut him or her to cut the pieces to make sure that they're all the same. And so every piece of wood is then cut to this pattern, which is cut to this template. Well, in a way, Paul is showing us that marriage, earthly marriage, has a pattern that it reflects. It has a pattern that it must line up to. And, of course, it is Christ and the church. Just listen to the connection between Christ and the church and the marriage. Verse 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. And so what do we see here? In our marriages, we have a model, we have a pattern that we are to reflect, that we are to live up to in some ways. And so it's Christ and the church in that relationship. But think about what Paul didn't say. And so he's saying, okay, this is our pattern, align our marriage, the marriages in accordance with that pattern. What does he not say? He doesn't say, this is what I feel and seems right, so let's line it up with that. He doesn't say, well, our culture's marriages are set up like this, so let's line up with culture. No, he doesn't do that. He points to Christ and the church as the pattern that we are to line up with. And so that means, as a husband and a wife, you should be constantly evaluating whether your relationship lines up with that picture of Christ and the church. It's our pattern to follow. And so you do not evaluate the health of your marriage or the way that your marriage is functioning by simply comparing it with everyone else's marriages. That's a flawed pattern, isn't it? Because we all have issues. We all have problems. And so you can't compare it with other people's because that's a flawed pattern. You are not to evaluate whether your marriage lines up with the current cultural moment. That is an ever-changing pattern. No, you follow the constant God-ordained pattern of Christ and the church. And so, wives, how does this help you? It reminds you that your position is similar to the church in the Christ church relationship. And so as the church submits to Christ, so you should submit likewise to your husband. Now, Paul is not saying that your husband is Jesus Christ. Definitely not. He's not saying he's perfect, but he's saying this similar type of submission should be done to him as the church does to Christ. And so you think about, how does the church submit to Christ? It does it humbly. It does it receptively, willingly. It involves respect and looking to his leadership. And so, wives, that means a helpful thing for you to do is to continually evaluate how you're doing in comparison to how the church submits and relates to Christ. And this is your pattern. But think about it this way. How else does the church relate to Christ? How does it not relate to Christ? Is it doesn't crouch down in dread of Christ. John Piper puts it well. Submission is not slavish or coerced or cowering. That's not the way Christ wants the church to respond to his leadership and protection and provision. He wants the submission of the church to be free and willing and glad. And so it should not be that you're submitting to your husband as a cowering slave. Of course not. But you're supposed to reflect the church in a glad and voluntary way where you see your relational dynamic with your husband as patterned after Christ in the church. And so if you think about it, you have this beautiful pattern of relational dynamic of Christ in the church. And our marriages are supposed to reflect that beautiful pattern. So what does that show us about our relational dynamic here? It's beautiful and it's God-glorifying. And so God has provided the pattern. And so we realize that this means there should be no begrudging submission. I want you to think about this. Would God be pleased if the church submitted to Christ begrudgingly? Of course not. Would God be pleased if the church submitted to Christ with an attitude? No. Would he like it if the church said, "This is not what I want, but I'm just going to do it"? Of course not. And so see that this is not demeaning and humiliating or shameful, but as the church willingly and gladly submits to Christ. And so wives should submit in a similar way. And yes, I know your husband isn't Jesus. Yes, I know that your husband has his own problems. And we'll get to that next week. We all have, husbands definitely have our flaws and our weaknesses. But you can still do what God has called you to do with respect and joyful acceptance of God's good design. And so when you think about it, it really comes down to that. When you put this all together, when you see that this is God's design, this is God's command, this is good because it's from God and all of that, it comes down to this. Will you willingly and joyfully accept God's design for marriage, or will you reject it? Will you truly recognize that God's ways are good? Or will you consider them bad by rejecting this command? Because as we saw, it's to be as to the Lord. And so you to do this because he structured it this way. It's patterned after Christ in the church. And so when you gladly do this, you are gladly submitting to the order established by God. You're saying, "Yes, Lord, I love you. You are good and your ways are always good. And so I'm going to joyfully accept the way that you have structured marriage and my calling within marriage." And so, wives, what is your mindset and attitude towards your responsibility? Is it rejection? Is it bitterness? Is it anger? Is it begrudging acceptance? Or is it a humble acceptance of God's good and beautiful design? Are you showing respect for your husband's calling? Or are you trying to take over his responsibility? Do you have an attitude of willingness to let him lead? And I know this isn't easy because husbands aren't easy to live with. I know I'm one of them. I know what we can be like. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do what you should do. Rather, I want you to know this. I know it's hard. But whatever God calls you to do, he will give you the power to do it. You aren't left on your own to do this in your own power. Praise God. This isn't in our own power, but know that God loves you so much. He sent his son to die on the cross for you, for your sins and in your place. He saved you and he redeemed you. He provided forgiveness for your sins. He then rose again, and everyone who believes in him is forgiven, has eternal life. But also, everyone who believes in him receives the Holy Spirit. And now through faith, you have Spirit-given power to live for God. Do you realize that? Every Christian has Spirit-given power to live for God. And that means you can be filled with the Spirit and do what God has called you to do. And that means you have everything you need to do this. Wives, you have everything you need to do this. And so look to him. You have the Spirit within who empowers you. You have the pattern to follow and reflect. And you have a loving Lord who is always with you and loves you and cares about you so much. He gave up his Son for you in his love and in his grace. And so that means, wives, I know there may be some in this room who are feeling some shame and guilt because you evaluate your life and your marriage and you're thinking, I haven't been living this way. Know that there is forgiveness in Jesus. There is forgiveness. And for those who feel like, I don't know if I can do this, know that there is power in the Spirit that he has given to you. And so keep going to the Lord. Keep bending on your knees to him and bowing the knee and looking in humble submission to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I need you because I fail and I fail and I fail. But Lord, I know that you have what I need to do this. And so look to him, wives. Trust him. He's so good. He's so loving, even if your husband isn't. So cling to Christ. Follow him. It is so worth it. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I know this was a hard message for many in this room. Lord, it's hard because it goes against what our flesh wants to do, and yet, Lord, you have called women and wives specifically to do this. And I just pray that you would minister to each heart this morning. Lord, you know where each heart is at. I pray that you would encourage where needed, you would challenge where needed, and you would help each of us to learn and grow even from this, that even though it may not be directly connected to our roles as husbands or single people, that we can know your truth. Because your truth is what's most important. Lord, we can know the design that you have created. And so, Lord, may we joyfully and humbly accept your good and right and authoritative design. And may we bow the knee before you and do what we are called to do in love for you and thankfulness. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to him today.